Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. I'm Joy Jackson. This month it's something old. I just returned from the Nostalgia Expo in Cincinnati, where one of the recreations, as well as one of the presentations, was on Zorro. ART has been working hard on a Zorro project for the last couple of years. Any day now, I'll get it done. I thought it would be fun to listen to an old-time radio show featuring the inspiration for Zorro, the Scarlet Pimpernel. The series is about a man and his wealthy friends who pose as cowardly fops while secretly going off to France to rescue folks from La Guillotine. First up, Episode 5, Emily Rumbolt's Father.
They seek him here, they seek him there. Those Frenchies seek him everywhere. Is he in heaven? Is he in hell? That damned elusive Pimpernel.
Star of the motion picture Red Shoes, as Baroness Orczy's immortal character, the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Suddenly, as it does in Paris. One moment, the Place de la Grève was filled with a screaming rabble, and the next, the mob was scurrying for shelter. Tony Dewhurst and I, caught away from our carriage, sought shelter in a doorway.
Oops, they could do with a thrash.
Not now, and not from us, not so openly.
And there's room here for her.
Well, of course.
Mademoiselle, there's room here for you, miss.
Yes, oh, join me.
I want to go there with them. Oh, merci, Monsieur. Merci.
Ah, you're quite welcome.
You might take that shawl off your head. It's positively dripping, you know.
Yeah, all over my pumps. Not that he ain't ruined already.
I am sorry. There. Is that better? If I inconvenience you, I will go.
Oh, no, mademoiselle, not at all.
Well, whether you're here or not, I know I shall catch pneumonia either way.
For you, monsieur, that would be tragic. For me, the rain has ruined my flowers. Does it matter what one dies from, the rain or starvation?
Oh, the flowers ain't that bad. Just drooping a bit from the moisture. Matter of fact, we'll buy the lot.
No, monsieur.
Why can't we buy them?
Because I do not seek charity. The flowers are no good. There is only one good flower left in the world today, monsieur. A flower that comes from your country.
I'm afraid I don't understand you, mademoiselle.
You have a flower, monsieur, called the Scarlet Pimpernel. But in these days, it has a much greater meaning. To many of us, it is a symbol of hope. Of escape, do you understand me now?
You mean the good heavens, girl. You're not talking about that legendary character the French secret police have invented.
He is not an invention, monsieur. He lives, I tell you. An Englishman like you. I must find him.
Why, mademoiselle?
To save the life of my father. Monsieur, an accident of fate has made it possible for me to talk to you. I beg you, help me.
Oh, but we're just ordinary Englishmen, my dear. Not blasted heroes like this Scarlet Pimpernel of yours.
No, but you nor other Englishmen. He may be among your own friends without your knowing.
Well, in which case it would be quite impossible for us to help.
Not impossible, monsieur. I ask you to do only one thing. Wherever Englishmen gather, tell them that a woman needs help. It may reach the ears of the right man. My name is Emily Rambeau.
Emily Rambeau?
I live at 15 Rue de la Dernière Espoir. In English, monsieur, it means the street of the last hope. Oh, I must go now.
Oh, in this confounded rain.
Look up the street, monsieur.
A troop of soldiers, Blakeney.
Would they be out if they weren't seeking someone, monsieur? I beg you, remember what I told you. Adieu.
She was gone as suddenly as she appeared, slipping furtively along the side of the buildings as the soldiers who had entered the street fanned out and moved from doorway to doorway, peering into each face.
Do you think they saw her?
No, she clung to the wall. The facade of this doorway blocked their view.
Did you ever see a face like that outside a dream?
Rarely.
I waited for you to say something to her, Blakeney. Poor, half-starved creature, a word of encouragement.
You mean the sort of word Monsieur Chauvelin would like to hear me utter?
You mean her approach to us was deliberately staged?
I didn't say that, but it might have been.
Well, that would mean that Chauvelin finally does suspect you.
Oh, not at all.
But
reason it out, Tony. She might approach a dozen Englishmen in a dozen different ways. Then Monsieur Chauvelin would wait, like a cat, for one of them to turn up at 15 Rue de la Dernière Espoir.
It would be a clever trap.
And Chauvelin is a clever man.
But suppose she was telling the truth, Blakeney?
Then there's nothing to be concerned about, Tony. The lady left her address. It's a place to send a message. We'll see the lady again, Tony. But not on the street of the last hope.
In a moment, Marius Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel. Marius Goring as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
The messenger was a street urchin whose eyes could see nothing but the gold coin clutched in his grimy fist. I selected a rendezvous outside the city on the road to Orléans.
It's all right, Emily Rambeau. Don't be alarmed. Let's say that I'm the man you wanted to see, mademoiselle.
Oh, I had heard that you were a strong man, monsieur. You hold me very lightly. I am ashamed that I fainted. I can stand now.
Very well. I didn't know you'd come on foot.
I do not own a horse, monsieur, or much of anything else. I came the only way I could.
I'm sorry. There were reasons.
I can understand. I would have walked 1,000 kilometers through a gauntlet of devils.
Here's the brandy, but I'm afraid there's no glass for the lady.
I don't think she'll mind. Drink quickly, mademoiselle, then tell me your story.
Thank you.
You can see the road from here. I'd better watch the fields in back while you talk to her.
Might be best. Could be patrols about.
Low whistle when you want me.
Right.
That was most welcome, monsieur.
It will serve to warm you. Your father's the one who's in trouble, isn't he?
Yes.
What sort of trouble?
He is on Citizen Chauvelin's list of suspects. Because I am his daughter, I have been watched almost constantly.
Has Chauvelin made an open accusation of treason against your father?
No, but you know what happens to people once they are on the list. Accusation and arrest are certain in a matter of days, perhaps hours. Even while I'm here, they might be taking him.
Please, I assure you, he will be saved.
Perhaps I should tell you who he is, monsieur. General Rambeau.
General Rambeau? But he's...
an invalid, monsieur. A man with a useless body, but a man with a mind and a soul.
Where is your father now?
Where I came from, monsieur. 15 Rue de la Dernière Espoir.
Oh, yes. The street of the last hope. We'll make that last hope a good one. Here. Take this gold.
But
take it.
I...
buy the best of food tomorrow. See that you and your father are both well fed and ready for a long journey.
To where, monsieur?
To London. And safety.
He cannot ride, monsieur.
I said everything would be taken care of. Believe me.
Perhaps there are some things even you cannot do.
Nothing in life is ever certain, mademoiselle, but one can always try. We'll be ready at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. I will call for you at the Street of the Last Hope.
Answer! Oh, please, somebody answer!
Wait! Wait! Are you trying to rouse
me? Let me in, quickly!
Citizeness! Who are you to come breaking into my...
Well,
Citizeness Rambeau, what do you want?
To trade with you, Citizen Chauvelin, for the life of my father.
Indeed? And what do you have to trade?
The Scarlet Pimpernel.
In a moment, Marius Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel. Marius Goring as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Long before the appointed hour of 10 o'clock, Tony and I put our plan into operation. It was only 4:30 in the afternoon when we turned into the Rue de la Dernière Espoir, disguised as chimney sweeps.
Like it? Oh,
like it? It's foolproof. The ladder will make a perfect litter for the old gentleman.
Wait a minute, Pigmy. What about the girl, Emily?
I will go into the house one last time for a forgotten broom. It will be she who comes out, dressed in the clothes I'm wearing.
You'll move away quickly, then. The night will protect you.
But you'll be left. Well, of course I'll be left. But left in a house that is not under guard. All I need do is wash my face and stroll off in the simple French garments I wear under these.
Fine. But one thing more. What of the people in the house you plan to use? They may not want the services of chimney sweeps.
Then we shall have to tie them up in the interest of cleaner chimneys, dear Tony. After all, our services are free.
I'm afraid Citizen Chauvelin won't think so. To him, all bills from the Scarlet Pimpernel come rather high.
Enough laughter, citizen. After all, ours is a grim and unhappy trade. And there is our chosen place of work. Number 17, Rue de la Dernier Espoir. Oh, citizen, comrade, horse. All right, Tony. No slip-ups. Let's get it done.
Somebody at the door, Emily.
Yes. I know who it is.
Is it soldiers? Have I been publicly accused? If it is, I have my gun under my robe.
No, Father, there is nothing to fear. You will not be taken. I will tend to it. I am coming! Good evening, Citizen Chauvelin.
Good evening, Citizeness Rambeau. It is 9 o'clock. My men are being placed in this quarter. I hope for your father's sake that nothing goes amiss.
The Pimpernel has given me his word, and he is a citizen of honor. You wouldn't understand that, Citizen Chauvelin. Nor would I.
I am not interested in your comments. Captain?
Oui, Citizen Chauvelin.
Are your men deployed?
Oui. A few dressed as soldiers, but the rest, as you instructed, out of uniform. They will seem casual strollers as they patrol in twos and threes.
Good. I will be waiting at my headquarters, Captain. See that I get the report I wish. If the Pimpernel should manage to get into the house without being seen, Citizeness Rambeau will signal you by opening the blinds. Won't you, Citizeness?
Oui.
The cup there, Captain.
It has been there all day, citizen. A bad chimney. That is why there is so much smoke.
Yes.
I can call the sweeps and order them away.
No. They would wonder why. It is natural for the cup to be there. It may help to alleviate any suspicion of a trap. Leave it.
Quick. Lean over the edge. Way over. Careful. By the door to number 15. Mademoiselle Rambeau and a captain of the army and...
And that other one is Citizen Chauvelin.
Good heavens. She's just shook hands with him. Blakeney, it is a trap.
Yes. All right. Come away before somebody looks up here. And we better think fast.
We've got to get out of here, Blakeney.
We will get out of here. At 10 o'clock. And with General Rambeau.
It's impossible.
Until it's done. Come on, get out of these sweeps' clothes. No, no. No. First, go down to the cart. You know where the guns are hidden?
Yes.
We'll bring two, loaded. And all the powder we have. Then we'll change garments. We'll be dressed as ordinary citizens, just as the others are down there.
Well, what are you going to do?
Set off a blast in this basement of the house. Then rush into the street, screaming that the Pimpernel is trapped in here, disguised as a chimney sweep. They've seen the sweeps. Now they'll think we're two of the soldiers.
Now, that should draw them away from number 15.
Now, you take orders from me as though I were a superior. I'll order you to move the sweeps cart. Stop it in front of number 15. Rush in there. I'll be right behind you. Once inside, we'll fire our pistols.
But why draw them that way again?
So we can carry the general and his daughter out as though they've been shot on Chauvelin's orders to prevent their escape. Leave it to me.
The girl, too?
Yes. Knock her out. You may have to. Maybe our only chance.
There it goes.
Get your men down here, Captain.
You order me?
By special command of Citizen Chauvelin. Don't let them escape. And you, citizen, move that cart. The cursed Pimpernel must have some need of it.
Oui, Commandant.
Tony leapt in response to my order.
And as I hoped it would, it seemed to convince the captain. He and his men rushed into the billowing smoke from the blasted building. Tony had moved the cart swiftly to number 15. I followed.
You all right?
Fine. Let's get what we came after.
Hit the door hard.
We've no time.
Right. Here goes.
Did they catch him?
No, mademoiselle. Not yet.
It is you.
Who are these men, Emily?
We're friends, sir. Come to take you to safety.
You don't know me, General, but I'm known as the Scarlet Pimpernel. If you and your daughter will do as I say...
He will die. I have my own way of saving him, monsieur. Help!
Sorry, mademoiselle.
I will kill you for this.
Put that gun down, sir.
Please, General, listen to him. Your daughter betrayed us to Chauvelin.
You lie, monsieur.
That can be proven later when we get both of you out of here. Now listen to those madmen. They'll kill her and you and us.
What do you want me to do?
Now just seem like a dead man when I carry you out of the door and dump you into a cart. You will hold on to your gun, though, in case it's needed.
All right, monsieur. But if you lied about my daughter...
You may have any satisfaction you wish. All right, Tony, for two shots. Well, that drew them, all right. Let's hope we're right about the rest of the plan. Come on, pick it up. Right. And you, come on, over my shoulder. Let's move, Tony.
What happened in there?
Precaution, Captain, a precaution. Citizen Chauvelin ordered these two executed on the spot if the Pimpernel was not taken without trouble. Have your men got him surrounded?
There is nothing to surround. That building is empty.
Empty? You fool. Did anyone see those chimney sweeps come out?
No,
get after him. The roofs, the cellars, everywhere. You let him get away, Captain. And Citizen Chauvelin will send you to join those two. I would happily pull the trigger myself.
In a moment, Marius Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel. Marius Goring as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Sea's calm tonight, Tony.
Yes. This moon, we'll soon be seeing Dover.
The General all right?
Fuchs brought him some food a while ago. He was sleeping.
Good. Did he talk to his daughter at all?
Yes. Finally. After all, she's his own flesh and blood.
Where is she?
Why? Well, don't tell me you're going to talk to her.
Yes, I am. Where is she?
Standing back there, alone, near the stern. She... Good heavens, look! She's climbing up onto the...
Emily!
Don't! Don't jump! Come off there!
Let me go!
No.
Cry if you wish, but I won't let you go.
I betrayed you. I repaid your kindness and bravery.
You were trying to save the life of your father, Emily.
Believe me, I would not have done such a thing to you to save myself.
I know, and I forgive you, Emily. You're a woman,
And a woman has no scruples, no mercy when she's trying to protect somebody she loves. Maybe that's why the world has lasted so long.
Adventures of the Scarlet Pimpernel, starring Marius Goring, with music composed and conducted by Sidney Torch. Produced by Harry Allen Towers.
Back in just a moment.
Join the American Radio Theater on the internet at www.americanradiotheater.org. We invite you to ride the ART Express, now boarding for drama, adventure, comedy, mystery, and cookamonga.
We return to treasures old and new from ART. For a shift back to the days of old-time radio, let's listen in to part of the Railroad Hour, which is really only a half an hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And from Hollywood, here comes the star-studded show train. Tonight, your railroads, through the Association of American Railroads, present the delightful musical comedy hit, Good News. In our star-studded cast, you will hear the host of our series, Gordon McRae, two lovely guest stars, Dinah Shore and Jane Powell, and a great cast of Hollywood featured players. The entire production set to the music of Carmen Dragon's Orchestra and brought to you by the American Railroads. The same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and the things you use in your daily life. And now, here is Gordon McRae.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gordon McRae helping to bring you the first in our series of musical comedy successes. Tonight, the Railroad Hour show train presents the Lawrence Schwab, DeSilva, Brown & Henderson musical hit, Good News. Starring Dinah Shore as Connie Lane, Jane Powell as Babe O'Day, yours truly as Tommy Marlowe, and a great supporting cast including Jim Backus, Mary Lee Robb, Lou Merrill, and Rye Billsbury. Marvin Miller is our announcer. Our chorus is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our orchestra is presided over by Maestro Carmen Dragon, who is now playing the final strains of our title number, Good News. now the curtain rises on the first act of Good News. In the huge gymnasium on the campus at Tate College, Babe O'Day, a blue-eyed little blonde co-ed, is trying to teach a new dance step to a group of freshmen.
Stop the music! Stop the music! Of all the dumb clunks, you freshmen take the prize. Now, if you kids want to be in the swim at the dance tomorrow night, after our team beats Colton, you better pay attention and learn this step. I'm going to show you just once more, and that's all. So watch carefully. Okay, maestro, give. Here is the drag, see how it goes. Down on the heels, up on the toes. That's the way to do the varsity drag. Hotter than hot, newer than new. Meaner than mean, bluer than blue. Gets as much applause as waving a flag. You can pass many a class, whether you're dumb or wise, if you all answer the call when your professor cries. Everybody down on the heels, up on the toes. Stay after school, learn how it goes. Everybody do the varsity drag.
Come on, kids, break it up. Break it up, I said.
Well, just a minute, Beef Saunders. What's the big idea?
Tommy Marlowe's going to meet me here in the gym any minute.
Tommy Marlowe? It beats me why Tate's greatest football star wants to waste time with a lug like you.
Well, if you must know, I got to teach him a couple of secret plays to pull in the game with Colton tomorrow.
You're going to teach Tommy Marlowe football? That's like Marjorie Main showing Jane Russell how to wear a bathing suit. Come on, everybody, once more. Down on
your heels. Okay, if you don't believe me, here's Tommy now. Ask him yourself.
Hi, fellas. Hi, gals. Say, what's going on, babe? You showing the kids how to do the varsity drag?
Let's get more on the beat, Tommy. Let's say trying to show them. This bunch doesn't have any more backbone than a plate full of jelly.
Oh, now look, kids, the varsity drag is something everybody ought to know. It's one of the nicest subjects you can learn at Tate, you see? We've always thought knowledge is not. We should be taught to dance. Right here at Tate, we're up to date. We teach a great new dance.
First lesson right now.
You love it and how you love it. Here is the drag, see how it goes. Down on the heels, up on the toes. That's the way to do the varsity drag.
Hotter than hot, newer than new. Meaner than mean, bluer than blue. Get this much applause and waving a flag.
Well, you can pass many a class, whether you're dumb or wise, if you all answer the call when the professor cries.
Everybody
down on your heels, up on your toes. Stay at school, learn how it goes. Everybody do the varsity
Marlowe. What's up, Bobby?
Well, Coach Johnson's holding a special meeting with the team down in his office. I guess everybody's going to be there, because I got to go, too.
Coach even wants a substitute, huh, Bobby?
Oh, lay off, Hughes Beals. You're speaking of the man I love.
Bobby, I thought you preferred the athletic type.
Bobby is the athletic type. He plays football.
Preferably quarterback.
He plays baseball.
Preferably shortstop.
He wrestles.
Preferably women. Well, don't worry about it, Bobby. You'll get your chance to play tomorrow, all right, in my place.
What?
Oh, no, you're kidding, aren't you, Tommy?
No, Bobby, I'm not kidding. Didn't pass my astronomy exam. Professor Kenyon just told me.
Oh, Tommy, no. If you can't play, we're licked. Colton will beat us 50 to nothing. Tommy? Tommy, darling.
Oh, Pat, hello.
I just heard the devastating news. How could you fail to pass, Tommy? How could you? When you knew perfectly well that I bought a new gown for the prom.
Well, Tommy, isn't there any chance at all that you can play?
Well, there's just a slim chance, Bobby. Professor Kenyon is going to give me another exam. And, Pat, you're so good in astronomy that I thought if you'd help me study, I might be able to pass.
Oh, Tommy, darling, you know I'll help you.
I was sure you would, Pat. Why, I would have bet my last nickel on it if I were a betting man.
And aren't you a betting man?
I don't ever gamble, sweetheart, I refuse. Not because I hate to, simply cause I always lose. Lucky boys who gamble tell me that it pays. But I've got luck that beats their luck a thousand different ways.
Lucky in love, lucky in love. What else matters if you're lucky in love? Good breaks are few, few skies are blue, but bad luck scatters every time I'm with you. I don't mind that at poker I'm green. If I stand ace high with a beautiful queen, I'll say I'm lucky in love. If you take me, that will make me oh so lucky in love. I stand ace high with a beautiful queen. I'll say I'm lucky in love. If you take me, that will make me
sweet. Oh, but I must leave, darling. I have an engagement.
Well, gosh, Pat, I ought to start studying right now. Can't you break it?
Break an engagement with my hairdresser? Oh, darling, that's impossible. I'll meet you, Cess Y, at the bench behind the chemistry laboratory. Around 80.
Don't understand why you dragged me down here to this little bench behind the chem lab.
Oh, Connie, darling, I'm in trouble. Dreadful trouble. Do you know Tommy Marlowe?
No. Oh, of course I know that he's the captain of the football team and that he's your friend, but I don't know him.
Well, you're going to.
Oh, Pat, when?
Tonight. You heard that Tommy didn't pass his astronomy exam.
Well, yes, but they say you're going to tutor him.
Well, I was, but... But confidentially, Beef Saunders' new car was just delivered, a luscious red convertible, and he's asked me to go riding with him. So I want you to take my place.
Oh, I can't
miss Beef now. I'll have to run.
Oh, Pat, Pat.
Oh, here comes Tommy.
Oh, do I look all right?
Why, you look perfect, darling. And anyway, all you're going to tutor him in is astronomy. He'll learn about women from me. Bye.
Gosh, Pat, I didn't expect you to be right on time. Oh. Pardon me, I thought you were Pat Bingham.
I'm Connie Lane, Mr. Marlowe. Pat asked me to meet you at this bench and help you with your astronomy. She has a terrible headache.
Oh, the poor kid, that's too bad. And it's nice of you to help, but trying to teach me anything is going to be pretty tough to take. Sort of like going to the dentist.
Oh, no, it won't, Mr. Marlowe, because I'm going to put something in your head, not take it out.
Well, I guess there's plenty of room, and... Won't you call me Tommy?
All right, Tommy. Now, what is it about astronomy that's so difficult for you?
You know, I just this minute figured that out. Something has always been missing before. Astronomy is a subject for two to study.
Good. Well, then open your textbook to page 85. You think there's enough light from the street lamp to see?
Oh, yes. And everything I see is very beautiful.
The stars are beautiful tonight, aren't they?
Oh, I wasn't thinking of the stars.
But you must if you're going to pass that exam tomorrow. Now tell me, what planet is that?
Planet? Oh, well, let's see. What's the use of guessing? There's too many of them.
All right, I'll tell you. That's Venus. You see?
Yes, I see. I'm looking right at her and she's beautiful.
Well, I don't know how Patricia would like my being Venus.
Oh? What do you know about Patricia?
She's my cousin.
Your cousin? Well, then why haven't I seen you before, around the sorority house?
Oh, I'm not a member. I'm sort of a poor relation, you know.
Well, does that worry you much?
Not particularly. A lot of things in this world make up for the shortage of money.
I'm listening, teacher.
Well, there are so many kinds of riches, and only one of them is gold. The wealth you miss, remember this. Worthwhile things cannot be bought or sold. The moon belongs to everyone. The best things in life are free. The stars belong to everyone. They gleam there for you and me. The flowers in spring, the robins that sing, the moonbeams that shine, they're yours, they're mine, and love can come to everyone. The best things in life are free.
Gee, I never thought of things that way before, Connie. And, you know, from now on, that's my philosophy,
please,
too.
Please, Tommy, we're wasting time. Now, what's that other planet way up there?
Oh, wait a minute. I used to know. Now, don't tell me.
Never mind. It's Mars.
Oh, yes. Faithful old Mars. Still there.
Of course. Mars is in the same constellation as Venus, and he looks right across at her all the time. Can you remember that?
Well, how can Mars forget? With Venus right here at his side.
Oh, Tommy, please. You have to study.
I know. And you've already taught me so much. The flowers in spring, the robins that sing, sunbeams that shine, they're yours.
They're mine. And
love.
And so down comes the curtain on the first act of that grand musical comedy, Good News, brought to you by the Railroads of the Nation, cooperating through the Association of American Railroads. And now I'd like to present to you William T. Farrisee, president of that association. Tonight, Mr. Farrisee is in St. Louis, Missouri, attending a meeting of the National Association of Shippers Advisory Boards. Mr. Farrisee.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As you have just heard, there is now meeting in St. Louis an organization representing the shippers of most of the nation's freight. These businessmen, 25,000 of them, work with the railroads to improve service. You and I and everybody in the country benefit directly from their cooperation. Long ago, the railroads learned that to give the very best service, they not only had to work with each other, but also with the public. 25 years ago, one group of their customers set up the first Regional Shippers Advisory Board. The work of the board was so valuable that soon there were 13 boards covering the entire country. In 1937, they joined to form the National Association of Shippers Advisory Boards. These boards, while working with the railroads, are not made up of railroad men. Instead, they are made up of shippers who work with each other and with the railroads to help provide the whole country with more adequate and more efficient transportation of freight. These boards made their greatest contribution so far during the Second World War, when their consistent, organized help was one of the things which made it possible for the railroads to handle the tremendous volume of wartime traffic in such a way as to shorten the timetable to victory. So tonight, we take pleasure in saluting the Shippers Advisory Boards and their National Association for their great contribution to meeting the transportation needs of America. And the railroads of America, your railroads, welcome you, all of you, to the first Railroad Hour.
Curtain rises on the second act of Good News. It's the next morning, and Tommy Marlowe is walking up the steps of Astronomy Hall, ready to take his examination, when he's stopped by the voice of his roommate, Bobby Randall, calling excitedly,
"Hey, Tommy! Tommy!
What's the matter, Bobby?
Well, how's the astronomy? You gonna pass that test?"
"Oh, I sure am. I was coached last night by the most wonderful girl in the world."
"You mean Pat Bingham?"
"No, her cousin, Connie Lane. Oh, Bobby, she's a dream."
"Yeah, but what about Pat?"
"The Queen is dead. Long live the Queen."
Do you mean it, Tommy?"
"Certainly I mean it. Why?"
"Why, I love Pat, Tommy. Why, I've loved her from the very first day you laid eyes on her. But I was too honorable to say so, and besides, you outweigh me."
"Then bless you, my children, bless you."
"Oh, Patricia, if I ever get a chance to..."
"Shut up, Bobby. Oh. Here she comes."
"Well, I'll run along and let you give her the RKO privately."
"The RKO?"
"Yeah, the Royal Kiss-Off." "Good luck, pal."
"Tommy. Oh, Tommy, darling, I want to apologize to you."
"Apologize?"
"Well, when I asked Connie to help you out, I didn't think she'd be stupid enough to make you study all night."
"I didn't find her stupid. She wants me to pass."
"You mean I don't? Why, you must know me better than that, Tom, or you never would have proposed to me."
"Yes, I did propose, didn't I?"
"Did you? I have it in writing. I always keep the letter right here, next to my heart, you know."
"Well, the fatal hour has struck. I go to my doom."
"Tommy! Tommy! Tommy, I was afraid I wouldn't get here in time to wish you luck."
"Well, thank you, Venus."
"Go to it, Mars." "And Tommy, here's a kiss from me to wish you the best." There's the last bell."
"Well, so long, and thanks for everything."
"Oh, I want him to pass. Tom Marlowe, you've just got to pass."
"Why, Connie, darling, I never knew you were such a rooter for the school."
"Oh, I love the school."
"Well, just don't let that affection bubble over onto Tom Marlowe, darling. Remember, he's mine, if I want him. And I'll want him if he passes that exam this morning."
"Well, maybe he is yours, but just imagine that he loves me dearly. Must imagine that I'm his sincerely. I'm pretending that he's sending love notes ending. I love you. Seems that he's there as the day is closing. On his knees there, I hear him proposing. He's not present,
and he loves you dearly. Just imagine that he's yours sincerely.
Is the exam over yet?
Oh, not yet, Bobby, but I'm not worried. Connie says he'll pass all right. Oh, by the way, Connie, I thought you were going to press my dress for the football rally before the game.
Oh, I'm sorry, Patricia. I'll do it right away.
Yes, Connie, you press the dress while I press my suit.
Oh, Bobby, you're certainly funny when you get started.
I am?
Yes. Why don't you get started?
Oh, there you go, Pat. No one understands me. I'm a serious-minded young man.
Well, don't start making love to me if you want me to be serious.
Oh, go on. Necking is out of my line.
It is silly, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. Now, take your hand, for instance. It's a nice hand, but as I hold it, it doesn't give me any thrill. Why? Well, it's power of mind over matter.
Why, Bobby, you're a psychologist.
Yeah, I've given 15 years of my life to it. And then there's the kiss. You know, the most overrated thing in the world. It's all in the mental attitude. Let me show you. Now that it's over, what have you got? Wet lips.
You're right.
Well, certainly. Now, you just take your knees, for instance.
Bobby!
Ouch!
Mind over matter.
Well, matter got the best of mind for a minute.
How dare you make love to me, your roommate's fiancé?
Well, I thought it was all off between you and Tom.
Off nothing. I'm going to marry him if he passes the exam and wins the game tomorrow.
Hey, what's going on here?
Oh, hello, Beef. Got that convertible handy, Beef?
Sure.
Oh, good. I'll let you drive me back to the sorority house if you like.
Why, swell.
I'll bring the news about Tommy's exam up to the house.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's happened, Bobby? Is the exam over yet?
Well, not yet, babe. We're just... Oh no. Oh my gosh. Here comes Professor Kenyon now. Oh.
Well, good morning, students. Well, lovely day, isn't it?
Well, we hope it's going to be, Professor.
Oh? Oh, what do you mean?
Well, you know, sir, this afternoon, Tate plays Colton, and
Yes, I know. I'm very much interested in football.
You are?
Gee, that's great.
I should very much like to see Tate beat Colton this afternoon.
You would?
Gee, that's great.
Then tell us, Professor... How did Tom Marlowe do in the examination you just gave him?
Oh, yes, Tom Marlowe. Well, here's his paper. Let's see. Listen to this. Sir J. Herschel estimated there are a billion stars down to the 18th magnitude. What holds them in place? That was my question. And now here's Tom Marlowe's answer. Mars and Venus. They are in the same constellation, and he looks across at her all the time.
Oh, even I know that ain't right.
Oh, gosh.
Tell me, just how good is this Colton team?
Oh, terribly good, Professor.
And do we need Tom Marlowe to win?
Do we? We could use Glenn Davis, too.
Well, let me see. 75 is the passing grade. You can tell Mr. Marlowe that his grade on this examination is 76.
What?
You can't say I haven't the old Tate spirit.
Oh, Professor Kenyon, you've got the spirit of 76. what's going on down here?
Well, I told you we'd come up here to the sorority house and tell you the news about Tom's examination, didn't I, Pat?
Well, yes, but I didn't expect such a crowd. The team, the band, everybody.
But everybody wanted to give you the good news.
Good news?
Yes. Tommy passed his examination.
And now he can play this afternoon.
And we'll win, too. I know he will. You know, I've had a dozen omens lately that everything's going to be all right. So I know good news must be on its way.
Other night I saw my lucky star. Saw that new moon shining from afar. Saw a horse and he was milky white. So I know that things will be all right. Then I saw a lucky load of hay. That means good news must be on its way. When he's nigh, I'll cry, "Where have you been? Take your hat and coat and come right in. Good news, you're bound to do me good. Come right here to me, good news. Good news, you're what I waited for. I wasn't slated for blues. Good news is magic to me. Bad news is tragic to me. So, Mr. Good News, your fancy do me good. Come right here to me, good news."
Hi, kids. What's all the shouting for?
Tommy. Hey, everybody. Here he is. Here's Tommy Marlowe.
Hey, wait a minute. What is it? What's going on?
You passed, Tommy. You passed the examination.
I did. Oh, boy.
That's good news. You're bound to do me good. Come right here to me. Good news. Good news. You're what I've waited for. I wasn't slated for blues.
Good luck is magic to me. Bad luck is tragic to me.
So, Mr. Good News,
darling, I'm so pleased. Now you can play this afternoon and you can win the game. For me.
For Tate, you mean, Pat. And if I'm awful lucky. Say, you haven't seen Connie around, have you?
Oh, not since this morning, darling.
Oh, I wanted to thank her for all she's done. Oh, there she is over by the door. If you excuse me,
I wouldn't go now, darling.
Oh, why not, for Pete's sake?
Well, you see who she's with, don't you?
Oh, sure I see. Babe O'Day, Bobby Randall, and Beef Saunders. What about it?
Beef? Darling, he's a very jealous young man. Oh, so Connie tells me.
You mean Connie and Beef?
Oh, but of course, darling. Ever since their freshman year.
Come on, everybody. A cheer for Tommy Marlowe.
Hey, hey, hey. Rock, rock, rock. Rock, rock, rock. Marlowe.
And now I have something to say. Fellow students, I'm not here to talk about myself. But I have a real surprise for you. Tomorrow, Tommy Marlowe will be the greatest halfback in the world. Why? Because there'll be something wonderful leading him on to victory. It's love. Yes, Patricia Bingham has promised that if Tommy wins a game tomorrow, she will marry him.
Lucky in love, lucky in love. What else matters if you're lucky in love?
Gee, that's all I've got time for today. Please check out our podcast on our website, www.americanradiotheater.org. You know, we put up a new podcast every month. If you want to hang out with other folks playing old-time radio, it's radiooutofthepast.org in the Fred Bertelson Room. On Thursdays from 5:30 Pacific, that's 8:30 Eastern, and also on Saturday, 6 o'clock Pacific, that's 9 o'clock Eastern. Hope to see you soon!